Dumpster Divas, welcome to another episode of Dumpster Dive with me, Tom Hamlet, and my sister,
Kix Hamlet. We are here to dive into the reality TV that made us, well, the garbage we are.
I know, that's right. And expect like a mix of throwback recaps as well as chats about what we are still watching today.
Tom, are you ready to get into it?
Let's go. Hi, Dumpster Divas. We are back with another episode of Dumpster Dive. I know it's been a second. We've been kind of like inconsistent with episodes. More updates on that later. But today we are joined by one of my fave online personalities. You know and love him, Troy McKeady of at Troy Jean Spears on Instagram. Follow him there. And also, of course, Beyond the Blinds is going on tour soon, or is about to start again. So get tickets to that if you're in, you know, a city that that they are touring, and follow them at Beyond the Blinds Pod on Instagram. So check all that out. And Troy, we're happy to have you back here with us talking all things Vanderpump Rules, The Valley, anything in West Hollywood, essentially. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited. I need my like Bravo fix. Like I'm excited to just like purge these thetans out of me.
I know the Valley really has scratched an itch for me, to be completely honest with you, that I didn't expect it to do. I think I've just missed this. I've missed the like unapologetically awful human behavior. So many shows, they're venturing into weird gray areas where they're trying to be, you know, like these Instagram personas and brand. They're trying to be brands, right? And so they're trying to like become something that's like marketable. But Kristen Doty has no desire to be marketable.
Kristen just wants access to Tito's, and
yes, that's all. You know what? And good for her. She's like, I make fine money doing this job and can live humbly and just have like a bottomless pit of Sauvignon Blanc and Tito. Yeah,
right. No, I agree. I was really, really shocked by how much I liked The Valley, because I remember like I already was just kind of like done with Vanderpump. Like I was over it before Scandoval, and then Scandoval happened, and it was like, all right, like you guys got like this crazy second wind. But in my opinion, not to be whatever, but I feel like they've kind of fumbled it.
They completely fumbled it.
Okay. Like, I just feel like the editors have fumbled it. The show has fumbled it. The cast has fumbled it. It's just like, wow, you guys literally had the world in the palm of your hand. And like, now it seems like your show should be canceled again, which is really crazy coming off of this, the year that they just had.
I think it would have been smart to do a final, like this should have been like their final farewell season. Like they should have like marketed it as like this is the end, like, and then have them all go on to their other things. They have The Valley. Lala is one that Lala and Katie, or maybe not Katie, because I don't know if she gets along with them as much, but like Sheena, like these people can go over to The Valley, and I'm sure they probably will.
Totally. I had a theory in my mind I want to run it by you.
Yeah, let's go.
So my theory, I was like, what would make Vanderpump Rules, like what would revive this show so that it could be on for another like number of years, even just like a small handful of years? And I was thinking this should have been the season where they broke the fourth wall.
Yes, like they did with the Kardashians.
Yes, like it, or they did that too with a few years ago, they did that with Teen Mom.
Yes.
Another like 10 years. Like, because we're at a point now where the illusion of this being like a group of friends that works at a restaurant, we are so beyond. You guys are reality stars on a reality show.
Right. And they're not even a group of friends, but take restaurant out of it. They're not even a group of friends anymore because they,
right,
they all kind of loathe each other.
They hate each other. And they don't even like Lisa. It's like these once.
Lisa's barely on it too.
I'm just like, what is this? Like, just talk about being on a show. Mm-hmm. Talk about the cameras. Can you guys just talk about how you don't want to film with Tom? Like this whole, like, I don't want to hang out. Go fuck yourself.
Just be like, I don't want to film with him because it gives him airtime. That's what you're trying to say.
Hello. We all know it's okay. Like it's cool. And even like with the way people have been following the show, like through paparazzi pictures and stuff, like, you know, in the alley talking to Tom when being on Huffington Post, it's like, you guys should be talking about that. Why are you not acknowledging you're on a show that's like a pop culture moment right now?
Yeah, I know they really messed They messed a lot of it up. And I think a lot of it has to do with the early stages of production. I think production should have just, once they filmed that little add-on piece to the end of season 10, or season 9, what are we on? I can't remember, but whatever. Yeah. Yeah. Last season, after they filmed that little add-on piece about Scandoval, I think they just should have kept the cameras rolling, because like giving them any sort of break, let them get kind of some plans about like, okay, how am I going to make this season? Like, how am I going to make money off this season? How am I going to be getting the most camera time? How can I film with this person? How can I, like, I loved all that footage they had at the very end of last season. I thought it all felt pretty organic.
Yeah.
Like, I wish we had had more of that, because giving them that 3-month break, which isn't that long, but it gave them all enough time to calm down, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just, we don't have a lot there. There's not a lot of there. And the Katie and Tom both, you know, hooking up with what's her face? I can't remember her name, but the pink hair, Sheena's nanny, ex-nanny, as she said, like, that felt so fake to me.
Yeah.
I'm like, guys, it felt so fake. This is something that would have happened on like the early seasons of the show, but this time around, it felt like they're like, let's do something that we would have done, you know?
And see, that's what I mean. It's like, to be at this stage of the show and to have had like the insane media coverage they had this last year, to be doing storylines like that doesn't even make any sense. Like, it literally is like mind-blowing, because the reality of their lives is so much more interesting than what they're showing. Mm-hmm. Like, what's actually going on with them, as you know, like, even just the narrative that Ariana is like getting all these deals and all these endorsements, and she's on Broadway and she's doing all these things. And it's like, on the show, they kind of talk about that, but they kind of don't.
Yeah.
And it's like, why? Like, we all know what's going on. Like, there's no illusion of this being whatever. You know what I mean? Like, we're so far gone from the first few seasons of them being like poor, broke kids working at a restaurant. Like, you guys are just reality stars. This is basically the surreal life at this point.
No, yeah, it totally is that. Yeah, I don't really know what the next step for them is. A show that surprised me also in Lisa's, you know, cinematic universe is, I watched the first two episodes of Vanderpump Villa, and it
tell me every detail. Tell me everything.
Okay, it follows the genius model, like structuring of Below Deck, which is, it feels there's a level of episodicness to it that you can like watch two episodes and be like, oh my god, I love that, and then the next time you're hungover, you'll watch the other two or three. Yeah. Like it's not something that you need to be involved in every week necessarily. So it has that, which I think is a win, because there's so much content. We don't want to be, you know, watching. I don't have enough bandwidth to like become obsessed with a new show all the time. So yeah. I like that. And then the premise is like, they work in this like villa in the south of France, and they have guests come every couple of days and they host them, and the cast of characters range, similar to Below Deck, from like there's a chef, there's a sous chef, there's a bartender, there's waitresses, waiters, there's like groundskeepers, and then there's like event planners, and then there's like kind of like a chief of staff role who just like oversees everything. And so they have the times where the guests are there, and then the guests go home, and then they get fucked up and the villa, and Lisa, they make it look like Lisa lives in the villa with them, like kind of like Captain Lee does on the boat, but like they have her like in a full on like security room watching security footage of them act up around the house.
Like, she's like the villain in Inspector Gadget. You only see her hand.
No, it is completely that. Like, it's like Charlie's Angels. It's that. It's like Five Nights at Freddy's. Watching all of these monitors, and it's kind of fun. She's kind of like playing Big Brother with them, and it's stupid. They have cast a Jax and Stassi replica. Like, they are identical in premise. They are like on and off not meant to be together, constantly fucking, constantly fighting, boyfriend, girlfriend, but they're not together on the show. But yeah, it's
Lisa pretending to be like mother or whatever.
Yeah, she's always pretending to be mother.
Yeah, yeah.
That'll be on her gravestone. Pretend to be mother from blank to your blank. I mean, that's kind of just her lot in life.
Her gravestone will say, quote, James, end quote.
James.
That's so, I definitely am going to watch that. There's no doubt in my mind that I'm going to watch it.
And similar to Below Deck always finds you in a hotel. Like, you're bored in a hotel room because Below Deck is on reruns constantly. And you're like, I guess I'll watch Below Deck for the first time. And then you're like late for your dinner reservation. That's like how that show works. It will come to you. Like, maybe download it for the flight to LA. Before going to Coachella next weekend.
That's a good idea, actually. That's a very, very
good. I think it would go down really easy in the air. There's some shows that, like, with a glass of cheap wine in the air and maybe an edible, you're like, this is my favorite show I've ever seen.
I'm like, where's the Emmy? No, you had me at the Below Deck comparison. That's all you had to say, because I'm such a bad girl. So that's like, I totally get it. And yeah, I mean, I'm always going to, like, unfortunately, I think that at this point, I'm just always going to watch a Lisa Vanderpump themed show. I just am.
Yeah, I'm often hesitant because she's not my fave, but she churns out, you know, undeniable, you know, hits. She really bothered me at the end of her time on Housewives. I don't mind her on these shows, but, like, I don't know. There's just something about how she meddles in, like, the tabloids, but pretends that she is this innocent little woman from the UK. I'm like, okay, well, you're not. You're, like, deeply entrenched in the fact that you're entrenched in, like, what waiters are fucking what waiters at your restaurants is even crazy on its own.
I've never called the tabloids. Are you kidding me? Us Weekly.
Right.
Come on.
It's okay to be a trash person, but she doesn't want everyone to know that. But you know, it's a good show. I will say about back to Vanderpump though, I feel like the last couple episodes were kind of getting somewhere. I thought it was. Did you find it refreshing to see, like, what were your thoughts, I guess, on Ariana actually, like, breaking down about her feelings on Tom?
I thought it was nice because her anger isn't misplaced, but it like isn't well articulated, if that makes sense. She just seems to, like, freak out about random things. And, like, I just liked hearing her explain her thoughts, honestly. It was just nice to hear it from her actual mouth. And, like, it's also just so funny to me because I'm like, I've been friends with so many girls like Sheena and so many girls like Lala. Like, I've had those two women, like, next to me on my left and right. And it's like, Sheena so badly. I always say that Sheena is the Gretchen Wieners of the Vanderpump Rules.
Oh, bravo.
I mean, yeah. She is, like, through and through that girl. She's the girl that's next to the popular girl. She's not the main girl in the group, but she's the girl on the side of the main girl, and she'll do anything to please her, and she'll bully whoever to make herself look, you know what I mean? But then complain about being bullied. And I'm just like, Sheena wants to be friends with Tom so bad, but she can't just, like, plant her feet in it and, like, own it. So she has to do all these, like, theatrics.
Mm-hmm.
Jumping through these rings, acting like, you know, the crying, that, oh my God, we went to therapy, and it's like, she can't just, like, own it, you know?
But what is it? Like, I don't really understand what he offers in a friendship. I know he allegedly gave her a loan, like, of money, like, a couple of years ago, but, like, which is very nice. But, like, part of me thinks that was probably more Ariana's doing than his.
Yeah.
Like, Ariana was probably like, we should do this to help her. Like, we love Sheena, but I'm just kind of like, I don't see what is there to fight for with his friendship. I don't know.
Well, I also don't think that she's a reliable narrator when it comes to that either. Like, when she talks about how close they were, like, I don't think he even feels as close to her as she does to him.
No, definitely not. And she sees there are people in this world that navigate it through a different lens than others. Like, you and I see the world the same way, but yeah. She sees the world, everyone looks, I think that she sees everyone as like cartoon characters. Like, are they like I just think she lives in this alternate universe in her brain. Like, everyone is, it's the Sheena show that can never get off the ground, and she's just constantly trying to like make is she, you, I maybe I'm not articulating myself perfectly, but like, I just, she has this delusion about her that makes her so watchable. But I wonder how she sees, like, what does she see in him? Like, I don't know what she's seen that's different than us. Like, I just can't imagine it.
That's so funny. Yeah, I feel like she sees the world as like Muppets. Like, everybody around her is like literally a Muppet. Mm-hmm. And she, in her mind, was being followed by cameras years before the show ever existed.
So she's Miss Piggy, is what you're saying.
I'm like, she's obsessed with gowns, boas, long gloves.
She's always screaming at her husband.
She's got a gargle in her voice.
Yeah, I've always been a Shishu head. I love her. I think she just makes great freaking TV. But yeah, the Ariana breaking down thing, I found that refreshing, because I was like, this is an actual like natural response to everything that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's trying to put up this hard front because she wants the world to see that she is a fighter. But like, I don't know that that's necessarily who she is. And I can't imagine having to live out an 10 year relationship breakup on camera. Well, mm-hmm. not only on a reality show, but it's a breakup in a show that the world has been watching. And she's not going to be able to win with people, no matter how she reacts to Tom's antics.
Yeah, for sure. And also, I was thinking about this too in the last episode. Like, she obviously wants to look, like you said, like she's like one in some way.
Yeah.
You don't want to look affected. You know, you want to like look like a bad bitch and all these things. Like, she wants to like come out looking like Beyonce. You know what I mean?
Right.
Who doesn't? Like, you don't want to look like you lost this big monumentally embarrassing egg in your face moment, you know? But I don't know if she realizes like the world already thinks that. So you don't like, you can cry and do all those things and like nobody will think any less of you or think that you're like weak or pathetic or anything. Mm-hmm. Like, we all think that you won. You know what I mean?
She won. I think her winning moment, honestly, was when those reunion photos leaked and she was in that red dress. I mean, that was, she won. It didn't matter what she did or said in the reunion. Like, that was everyone was like, damn, you really just put it to him, because she looked unbelievable. And then, but she tried to continue this persona that is not attainable. I think her raw emotions is actually how she feels when she goes back to their shared home at night, you know?
Yeah, and that's always been a thing for her, like, even outside
that's
of
true.
It.
You know, that's
like,
true.
Being truly vulnerable on camera is, like, difficult for her, it feels.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that. Like, she's tried so hard to talk about her feelings, and Tom has often been there to help her through them on camera in the past, but you're right. That is a boundary for her. Do you think that this is the last season for her?
No.
You don't think so?
Do you?
I kind of do. I think it's a great send-off. Like, wrap up your storyline. Like, how do they continue forward, the two of them, on this television program?
Honestly, any of them.
Well, sure. But she's not going to go to the Valley. Is she going to start, like, a show about... I could see her moving to New York. Like, and I don't know why
she wants
to be in LA, especially if she stays with this guy.
Do you think that she would do, like, a spinoff show, like... My life now. She's like, this is
the Whitney. It's like, no, it's fully Whitney in the city. Like, I'm serious. Like, what if she did like I moved to New York to make my dreams come true.
Oh,
here are my friends in New York. And that's like the new show.
She's like, this is my coworker. Her name's Olivia. She's not very nice.
She was my understudy in Chicago on Broadway. And I made sure I was never sick. So she never went on.
No, now that you say that, I'm like, yeah, I could totally see her doing like a New York thing. That would be, it would make total sense. I see her as a New York girl.
I do too. She feels New York to me. She feels like someone you would see at like a bar in the West Village, you know?
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. Well, let's hop over. Wait, before we hop over to the Valley, I would be remiss not to bring up there were like some wild things that happened today in like the Bravo sphere, like on the in the news outlets. One was that Alexia and Todd filed for divorce from Alexia, which I kind of saw this coming in some form, like because he was like so removed from this past season of Housewives of Miami, and mm-hmm. he didn't look like he liked her when they were filming.
Right. But
I think to her, this is a massive blindside. I'm pretty shocked though about all of it. I don't know if you care about Miami or not, but.
Oh, I care deeply. Uh-huh. And honestly, like I was shocked by just how abrupt it felt. It was like, well,
yeah.
I was like, whoa. But I agree. This last season was weird. And she's so performative about that relationship, and people that do that, it's like there's obviously something going on. Like she's always doing like the off Broadway production of their relationship.
She is. When someone is telling you, when someone won't shut the F up about like how you have the best man,
mm-hmm.
my man is everywhere when I need, I'm like, girl, no one cares. And it makes me think he's not anywhere when you need him.
Right, exactly. Like the fact that he just like sent you to find an apartment like so passively was
after
just
after selling the apartment, after putting the apartment up like for sale or rent or whatever without her, with no notice for her.
Yeah,
like, he like made it her problem.
This is weird. And yeah, nobody wants Todd. We're not.
No,
we're not. You're good.
I mean, I thought right at the top of that season when he just refused to film during that first episode at the like at their apartment, I thought that was so weird.
I thought that was really weird too, especially knowing what it would mean to her and how it would make her look for him to not. It's like, come, you know what this is gonna turn into. And then for them to have a weird moment where he came out at the end and he announced why he didn't eat dinner with them, and I was like, you guys are so weird.
It's so weird. He gives me some weird ass vibes. So
yeah,
you know, Miami unfortunately is not filming right now. They are on pause till like the fall or something when they start filming again.
Yeah,
wonder if they pick up cameras a little early. I don't know, but I would love to see some more info on everything that's going on, because I have a feeling it was a major blindside.
Yeah, and I love Miami. I'm a big Miami supporter.
Oh, me too. I think it's I think it's by far the best one that was on television in the past couple months, you know, in our rotation.
I think also, they had the best season they've ever had.
I agree. Every season continues to get better. It's to me, it's the show that is like what Housewives was. Like, it's like,
yeah,
they're mostly friends. They're always wanting to hang out. They have drunken antics. They're fighting about dumb shit.
Yeah. Like, yes, and it's truly aspirational. It like actually, yes. You know, Nicole takes a plane to get lunch. Like, it actually does feel aspirational, and it's like so, like it's one of those housewife cities where it's like, God, we really are fucking in Miami. Like, this feels so intensely like about its surroundings, and I love
that's
that.
A great point, because there are some cities where, like for instance, with Potomac or Atlanta or Orange County, mm-hmm. or Salt Lake City, you're at strip malls. And I am a girl from suburbia, okay? I am not me shitting on a strip mall. I'm just saying, like, Miami, you're never at a strip mall. You're at like a place where people probably are doing cocaine if you just like turn the camera to the left a little bit.
Listen, you can only watch so many sip and paint at
right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, how many times are we gonna watch people go paint pottery and drink wine?
Right. Like, in Miami, there's things to do. And same with New York. Like, that's what's awesome about New York.
Yeah.
Housewives is like, whether it was like the reboot cast or the old cast, like, they're always like you're in New York. Like, they don't really have to lean on goat yoga.
Today, we're going to be taking mud baths outside in the mountains.
That's my Whitney.
Yeah, that's a beautiful Whitney impression. And then also Candace announced she was pregnant, which made me very, very happy. I love me some Candace. What else happened? There was something else. Well, Robin confirmed that she was out from Potomac, but we already knew that. And then apparently NECA's out as well. I did not watch Potomac this season. I watched like the first couple episodes, and bowed out, unfortunately, but.
I mean, if you're ever bored one day, I'm not gonna pressure you.
I did watch the reunions because I needed to know kind of where we stood with everyone. I liked that new girl. I didn't know there was like a friend of on this season. I knew that there was someone in the mix that got in the fight that was on TMZ, but I thought she had a really good reunion showing last night. I watched that this morning.
Yeah, I think she's the future of the show. I kind of think that they may bring her in. What do they hold there?
Champagne glasses.
She'll be holding a flute.
A flute.
But I also, with the interesting thing about Potomac is that this season, Mia really slid into cast member position. Nobody saw that coming, but Mia is the MVP of that show.
She is. I like Mia a lot. I've actually always kind of liked her. I think that she is a fun pathological liar.
Yeah, I agree. She's like, kind of reliable, but like also not at all. I love it.
Yeah, it makes her good TV to just hear how she's gonna change. Like she will lie about like where she had lunch yesterday, just for reasons that don't make any sense. Like she'll just be like, I didn't go to Chipotle, I went to here, and they're like, well, I saw you at Chipotle, and she was like, well, I was there because I was on my way to the other place. And like, well, I don't know why we're lying over this.
Yeah, it's always a lie that leads to another lie. And she's like, well, I was with my twin, and they're like, wait. And she's like, I'm a triplet. And you're like, wait, what? Like, it always leads to another thing. And she just like, I'm obsessed with her.
Oh my God, that is so funny. You're absolutely right. No, I love her too. I think she'll be back. I think Karen will be back. I think Giselle will be back. And new girl. And then we'll see maybe what else happens. But I want to move on to the Valley. I just kind of want to touch on these last two episodes where we had the end of this fight. They kept saying Capri. It's Capri, I believe.
Maybe he thought he like was saying it correctly and
like in the Italian way. I know the Italians don't say Capri. Capri sounds like something you would say in the great state of Texas where I'm from.
He was having his Giada moment. He was like, it's spaghetti.
Just grab your parmesan.
Yeah. That's so funny.
I love that Kristen is getting her comeuppance about all of her racist shit on camera. I don't know what world she was living in where she thought it wouldn't come up. I guess that was my biggest surprise. Like, girl, like, yeah, like it's, we can't not talk about it. But I like that they're talking about production a little bit here. Mm-hmm.
I really like the way that they like frame everything. It feels really natural. And like even the way that the Vanderpump Rules cast members like show up, it's not, because before I watched it, I was like, God, this is going to be so annoying. Like they're going to like give Lala a title card and be like former Sir employee. Like it's going to be so annoying. But all of the Vanderpump Rule people just kind of exist in this world. They're not introduced. They're just there because they know that you know who they are.
Right.
It's just kind of chill. Like, and they talk about being on a show.
Yeah, it makes so much sense. The only thing they're not talking about that needs to be talked about is this whole conversation with Kristen and Jesse. No, what's his name? Her boy, Luke.
Luke, yeah.
About how she doesn't want to move to California yet. I mean, to Colorado yet. She's essentially being like, babe, like we just started filming a show. Like actually, yeah. This woman right there, we cannot move yet. Like I must collect at least a 3-season paycheck before we move. And he's like, no, but I don't want to be here. And she's like, we have to be here.
She's like, I just got back on Bravo. How dare you? Like, honestly.
I know. And she has, I think she does have the wherewithal to realize they're not going to follow her to Colorado.
Listen, if they didn't follow Stassi to New York at her peak, they're not going to follow Kristen to Colorado while she's turning 50 and having a baby.
That's a great point. You know
what I mean?
That's the treatment that we want Ariana to get, but they had that opportunity before. Oh my God.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I'm like, I just love seeing Kristen on my TV. Like she's
I do too. And guys, I understand. I want to reiterate, I understand she's awful. Like, and she did some awful things. And I'm sure we'll continue to in the future, but there's something so watchable about her downfall on TV. I like watching her be a mess. And, you know, I don't want to, I don't know how to venture into this, but something I love about her, but also need her to like maybe like make some changes with. She like has decided this like Valley Kristen is like, I don't wear bras. And she's like this, like, I'm going to just like be, I'm going to wear my like hand brace. I'm gonna like not wear a bra and like roll up to the burger joint with Brittany. Like, well, it brings me so much joy. I also, and honestly, work, if you don't want to wear a bra, go off. I don't care about that. I think she's just, I want her to, if she is gonna go braless, I want her to kind of maybe make some changes about like the t-shirts she's wearing, because I feel like if the light shines in the right direction, like we are seeing her nipples like a lot.
You just want to have a like a suggested conversation with the wardrobe department. That's all. You just want to say, listen, yes, you got like, a sheer white t-shirt for a braless daytime lunch.
Right. She's always in like a V-neck and no bra.
Yeah. Yeah,
she's blessed with some nice, you know, breasts. So like, yeah. I don't know. I just always think that I'm like, oh, here she comes rolling up again in her yeah, free the tit top.
She's in her like Kirsten Dunst, like crazy beautiful era. Do you remember how Kirsten Dunst, her boobs just like fucking everywhere?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Kristen's like drunk on Tito's. The nipples are hard and there's no bra.
The nipples are hard and we know that because we see them.
Yeah, because they're right there. Yeah,
you can't miss them. Yeah, but I also love that. I'm really liking, what is her name? She's the pregnant one. The pregnant one. What's her name? Janet.
I was going to tell you, it'll take me about 6 years to learn their names.
I agree. I'm struggling to get through this, like talking about them. But Janet. Yes. I really like Janet. She is like very messy. And she's definitely meddled a lot in this whole, like, is that girl racist or not? And has put her hands back and be like, it wasn't me. But she absolutely did. But I did like that she gave a nod. She was like, she liked a lot of don't say gay stuff on Instagram, so we all just kind of deduced that she was a racist Republican. Which, who amongst us have not thought that about someone when you see that they follow Trump or they, you know.
And like every friend group has had those conversations about like either somebody in the group or like somebody close to the group or friend of a friend. Like I can hear the conversation in my head. I've had it. And I agree. I think that she is my breakout star. Like she's absolutely. And I love that she like narrates so much of the show. She's funny. She's sarcastic. Like she's just like a good reality star.
I agree. And her husband is hot.
I know. God, I know.
I'm sorry. I don't know his name, but he is hot.
He's beautiful.
Oh, wow. They were, yeah. I really like the two of them a lot. Now, people I don't find attractive and don't know that I think are breakout stars on the show. I cannot stand that man, Jesse. He is, when he rolled up in that blazer and he thought, mama, he thought he was giving, he was spilling.
He was like, I cannot wait for them to see.
They are going to be kissing my feet when they see how absolutely beautiful I look.
And the fact that he corrected whoever called it a blazer and said that it was a dinner jacket, I was like, literally, I hate you. I will never like you. I just know it. I'll never ever like that man.
Dinner jacket is something that you own. That's only something that like white people at country clubs, like that's a terminology that's like only where that's used.
Totally. Like when you go to a place that requires one, or whatever.
I will turn around and not go there. I'm sorry. I find it so stupid when there is dress. I understand a light dress code, like if you're in like some sort of vacation place. Sure. I understand like not rolling up in like a swimsuit to like a nice dinner. I understand that. But like Troy and I both live in New York. Like New York, you could be sitting next to someone at a bar. They are in like a hoodie and like basketball shorts and like some like nice-ish sneakers and they have like $10 million and you have like no idea. And you're sitting at the bar, like both drinking the same like happy hour glass of wine. Like everyone is very unassuming in New York.
Yeah.
Like, but they also, in New York, people look cool, unassuming too. Like, I feel like people know how to dress well while also being like comfortable and
there's and like, practical.
Yes, practical. Because in New York, you're walking a lot. You have to be on the subway, which is, or you're most, even like very wealthy people take the subway. Like, everyone takes it because it's just faster. Like, yeah. You're not going to be on the subway and you're like beautiful, I don't know, name designer, track yeah. or nice pants or get a dress on the subway. Like, everyone is practical, chic. And so, like, I just don't vibe with people that need to be like in the dinner jacket and the tux. Yeah. It's not my vibe. It's too stuffy.
It is very stuffy. And it's very like, to me, it doesn't mean like, to me, the true symbol of like, this is a person with taste.
Uh-huh.
That when you like, you can be simple. Beyonce said it best.
Totally.
T-shirt and jeans and like make it look expensive. Like, you know what I mean? That to me is like a person that has real taste. Whereas like, if you're showing up to a dinner party in like a paint splattered jacket that you want everybody to look at so bad, it just didn't hit the same way. It's not the same. Just give me, it gave me the ick.
It did. And you know, he's sweating his tits off. Like, it looks like it's the dead of summer in LA and they're outside at this event. And he has I think he has a white tie on, which.
Yeah, he did.
Whoa. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry if you have ever owned a white tie, but it's a no. And I have owned a white tie in high school. I wore, honestly, something similar to this outfit. I wore a white tux to my junior prom. I looked insane. I need to find a picture of it. I'll text my friend and find a picture of it. Because post it on our Instagram so you guys can see. It is shocking that I felt this was something that made any sense.
Listen, you were in high school. It's okay. I wore a green, a olive green tux once to
it. That sounds nice to me a little bit.
For like a 15-year-old boy, it was like, I was like, I don't know who the fuck I thought I was. I looked like a church leader.
Well, that's the thing, is like when you're a kid and you're dressing up for like the prom and all that stuff, that is just kind of what everyone looks like. Like, no one, especially the boys, like the girls or anyone who's choosing to wear a dress, like the dresses like can work for all ages and look kind of fun and chic and silly or however you want to make it. But no matter, like, every kid in a suit looks like someone died or it's Easter.
Yeah, right. It's like, how many eggs did you find and did you get any money? Like, that's what I want to ask every kid that's in like a suit, for sure.
Totally. It doesn't work. So on top of that we were rocking olive green and white were choices.
I want to ask you a Valley question.
Oh my God, please.
Okay. So how did you initially feel about like having Jax and Brittany back on TV? And like, are you vibing with it? Do you not like it? Like, he's so famous again. Like, what do you think?
I vibe with it. I'm someone who, like, I've never liked Jax, but like, I find him oddly necessary for the shows sometimes, because he just is an agent of chaos who's willing to like instigate with whatever repercussions come of it. So in his own universe, I think he's kind of needed. Like, he was awful on House of Villains. Did you watch House of Villains?
I didn't.
It was okay. It wasn't great, to be honest with you, but he gets eliminated like the first week and he's just awful TV because, one, no one knows who he is. He's only famous in this like world.
That's actually, I'll watch it just for that. I'll watch it just so people that don't recognize him.
Everyone is like, you're who? Because he's also not on TV. At the time of that, like, he wasn't on TV again.
Yeah.
But he hadn't made a name for himself like I think he thought he had.
Wow.
And so he had a real kind of reality check when Tiffany Pollard is just like, honestly, like, who are you?
Obsessed. That makes me so happy.
I know. But in his world, he's needed, I think, because he's everywhere in West Hollywood, mm-hmm. It seems like whenever they're filming Vanderpump and he hasn't been there, he was like around the corner, just like waiting for the call. So it just kind of makes sense that he's there. And Brittany, I don't have an opinion on necessarily, but I like her on this show. I like her more now than I did, I think, on Vanderpump, because I think she's apologizing a little less for him than because I think she's getting fed up. But she,
Yeah.
her apologies for Jax bother me because he's such a dick, and I want better for her, but I know she's, you know, they have a family and stuff. But, and I know they're separated now, but I don't know. I'm kind of meh on both, but I think they're needed, I guess, is my long form answer.
I don't know where I fall yet because I'm very anti-Jax.
Yeah, I get it. Of course, he's awful. Like, I understand that.
And, like, not even, I'm not like a, I don't need my reality stars to be decent people. Like, I like them shitty.
Yeah.
I prefer them that way, honestly.
Yeah.
But I just am like, I think I got exhausted of his brand of being a villain. Mm-hmm. And mostly, I think, because of Britney. Like, I just felt like when Britney joined Vanderpump Rules, like, it derailed the formula of that show.
Yeah.
And the group split in this weird way and dynamics shifted and things just changed for me. Mm-hmm. Like, her joining was my, like, jump the shark moment for Vanderpump.
It's very interesting. I feel like their best season to me is season six. When
when he cheated.
Yeah, when he fucks Faith next to the old woman.
it was very, very, very Britney and Jax heavy. Like, when it became their show, yeah. I was just like, all right, like, this is exhausting. And Britney, I just, like, cannot fucking stand. And I agree, like, the whole, like, he's so sorry, he feels so bad, he cried the whole way home, he's changed so much, all that bullshit. I'm just like, oh my god, like, we're still doing this.
I know, she is still doing it. I think for me, I haven't, because I'm from Texas, I know 5,000 Britneys.
Yeah.
There's something a little calming to me about her just hunkering down, like, on the love seat on the patio with, like, a huge margarita tumbler.
Were you friends with so many Britneys? Because I feel
like, yes, yes. Well, bless your heart. Just come back out. We'll just pour up some big margaritas. I got that Jose Cuervo pre-made. Just come sit out here. I'll bring some ice and we'll just talk about our feelings. Okay. We can order some Tex-Mex and get it delivered.
Now, don't you dare leave. Sit back now.
Don't you dare get up. You can stay here. We got plenty of beds.
And Jackson apologized. He's sorry. He didn't mean
it. Bless his heart.
Bless his heart. I see so many Brittany Cartwrights in your past, present, and future.
Oh, completely. Well, hopefully not in the future. I don't want to go back. No, it isn't at home, but there is, like, something that is homey to me about her, so maybe that's part of it. But it is interesting. Where are you standing with their separation? Do you think that it's, like, real, or do you think that it's for the cameras, or do you think it's, like, kind of like a mix of both? Where are you at with that?
I think it's maybe a little bit of both. I will say that I don't think Britney is a person who can, like, fake it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you watched any of their interviews during the press.
It's hilarious. Them separated with Kristen in between.
Yeah. I'm like, wow, this is like she really can't stand him, you know? And you can tell, like, it's pretty palpable. She hates him now.
Yeah.
So I don't think that they're faking it, but I definitely think that they obviously had to come to some sort of agreed upon narrative. We're
timeline.
Doing,
you
know, right. Like, what are we going to tell people? We're about to go do press together. Like, there's literally a show that's about to air the last year of our relationship, basically, like, you know, so, which I don't blame them for that. Like, you got to have you got to figure something out, you know?
And the show is likely getting a second season, and they're going to have to be on it again. So they're going to have to figure out a way to continue being on the show. I mean, I guess same with Jesse and his wife. I don't know if she'll even be on the show, honestly, but which I think would bring for some interesting television, to be honest with you. But yeah. I think they, it's interesting because, like, he's so awful. I think they both underestimate how much we care about them not being together, because it's like, well, yeah, like, I guess yeah. Nobody really thought that this was going to be forever, to be honest with you, which is a awful thing to say. But we don't know these people, but I don't know. It's just, of course, you know?
And, like, you guys seem like you don't really like each other that much.
No, they're constantly fighting and absolutely cheating.
Whenever you hear somebody say, like, you know, and this is happening so much on, like, Bravo, just in general right now, where the person's like, we haven't had sex in a year. It's like, well, girl, he's getting it somewhere, mama.
That That really is crazy to me that you stay in a situation like that. Because, like, I don't know. Like, I mean, I'm in a almost 5 year relationship, and it's important for things to be active. You know what I
Hello.
mean? And so, like, I just don't know how you get yourself into a situation where you're, I guess, kids has a lot to do with it. And marriage has and houses and all that has a lot to do with it. But yeah, that is scary to me. 5 years. Oh, well, and this is a transition to summer house, but when Lindsay has been talking a lot about her sex life with Carl on summer house in the past couple episodes. First thing she said, she was like, we have sex like once a month, which if someone's outright, as Paige says, if someone's outright telling you that they have sex like once a month, or it means it's like, well, it like once every 8 weeks. And then also the fact that her and Carl were trying to have sex and like neither of them could come. Like, what's happening?
And like he was so, it's like I haven't, we haven't had sex in a month, and
Right.
now I'm initiating it, and you're like not even, you're like indifferent to even doing it. It's like that would freak me out, because I'm like, this is a man, this is an adult man that has a full ass sex drive. Like he's fucking some, I'm sorry, there's something going on. I even thought the same thing with Brittany and Jax when she was like, when she said how long it's been for them. And it's like, you know, Jax, he's not gonna just not ejaculate. Sorry.
No, he's going to ejaculate as much a day as humanly possible.
Hello.
This man needed to ejaculate so bad when he was with you that he went to a woman's work where she was taking care of an old woman and had sex with her next to an old woman. I'm like, how can you never get past? I would never be able to recover from your insatiable need for sex because of the lengths you'll go to do it.
Now, I will say with Lindsay and Carl, it feels a little bit more complicated, especially with like his
I
stuff with his
agree.
brother and his addiction stuff. And, you know, like it feels like it might be a genuine dry spell. And I don't know. I just don't know if Carl is like the cheating type at this particular
No,
point. Like,
I agree. I don't think he would cheat. The thing with Carl is the thing with their relationship that upsets me is that she's operating in this clock where she like needs this timeline to happen in a certain order. And it's so, I cannot imagine being a woman working against like your biological clock when children is something that's so important to you. So I have so much empathy for her with that. But she also has to recognize that the world, like, you can only make so much happen, like, with a relationship, like, because you're dealing with another person. You're not just dealing with your, it's not like she's like, I'm gonna have a kid of my own. And if someone is with me, like that's awesome. But if not, like this is what I
Lala.
want. Right. Like Lala. Exactly like that. Like Lala is like, I need, this is important to me. So I'm gonna do it. But with her, you know, unfortunately, like she's kind of, I think she tried to get Carl to marry her so quickly because she has things she wants to get done. And it's a lot of pressure on someone who is in very early stages of recovery, and also with the stuff that happened with his brother, and there's just so much going on. It was just all a lot really fast. And I've said this before, but Danielle like said everything I think that was correct on that last season. Her delivery was just in the worst. It was like the worst thing I've ever seen. So where are you at with them, or where are you at with this season of Summer House? Because I think it's been fantastic.
Well, it's incredible. I'm like Vanderpump Who. Like, all I care about is Summer House. I say this a lot on Beyond the Blinds because I just think it's such a good like descriptor, but there's this Sex and the City episode where Miranda talks about like the male biological clock and how it's so different from women. And how like men will get to a point in their lives where they like look around and like their other friends are married or getting married or having kids, and then they're like, oh, I should do that now. And then they like kind of take stock of like what burners they have going and like who's boiling versus who's simmering and like what's going on, who knows me really well, who's family, you know, who's seen me at my worst. And then they just kind of like point their radar at somebody that they think will be a good partner. Like, I don't think that it's like so, there's not as much thought, I think, that goes into it for men as for women. And like, I think Carl was just in that place in his life where he was like, I have to do this now. It's the time in my life where I'm supposed to do this right now because somebody else is doing it. And then, you know, it's like whatever. And I think it's like their reasons for being together are so different for one another. And it's like really sad because it's the age old, like, you know, dating your friend and are we going to be friends after it? And in this case, they're not. And that's really, I feel bad, you know?
Yeah, I don't, I am not an advocate of the friend turned partner situation. I don't think that's a good idea. I don't know. Maybe it's just like the way you and I operate are different than, I mean, everyone operates in relationships differently. So I guess this is just how we operate. But like to me, like friendship breakups are so terrible. They're awful. And the idea of taking a friend and subjecting them to essentially like a 50-50 shot of like this or 75-25, you know, 75 breakup, 25 it works. It's just it's not sustainable. It's tough. I think it's a hard place to start a relationship. It seems easy, I think, in the beginning, because you're like, well, we skipped all the boring stuff.
And you know
But
everything about me, you know, like I think that that
right.
was easier for him. Like she, you know, and also like the trauma of it all, like she was there for him at like the peak, most traumatic moment of his entire life. The way that he was probably able to just fall into it with her because she knows his family, she knew his brother, she knows his mom, she's known him from a million years. She knew him as an addict, she knows him. It's like, of course you would fall into that and be like, obviously she's the one. How did I not think this my whole life? Like, of course she is. But then reality hits when you're not in the spiral of it all. And it's like, you guys were barely even compatible as friends. Like, you literally broke up as friends all the time. So, well, you know what I mean?
That's a great point. I didn't even think about that. They were always like on the border of like breaking up as a friendship, or things were rocky. They would come back for the summer and be like, Carl and I aren't talking right now. Or you're right. I didn't even think about that. But it's, you know, I understand the mindset of like finding people in your life that like him being able to find a partner that knew him when he was an addict and after, that is like something very rare, you know, like, and I'm sure a very comforting thing to
Oh
find.
my God. And then for her to be like, I'm also gonna not drink for with you.
Yeah, that had
Like,
to have escalated their relationship. I do think that her drinking again probably made some steps go backwards in terms of their relationship. Like, she can do whatever she wants, but like, unfortunately, you fight all the time when you're drinking, Lindsay. So it's just kind of like a where are we at with it, you know? I like it would be tough to see that that was something that was working, you know?
I think the red flag was honestly when she was saying, well, I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for him. I'm doing it to be a support system. And it's like, well, you need it. And then everybody being like, well, why, like nobody understands why you're not drinking because you yourself, you seem to have a drinking problem. You're sober, but you won't admit to us or yourself that you needed to be sober, but you are. The whole thing was just so odd. It's like, well, you are obviously not in
Well,
a, you know, like.
you can hear her saying it in a way where she wants to not be sober. Like she's like trying to like work her words around the fact that she's, oh, she's fine. I'm fine. I don't need to do that again. You know, so my partner is not he doesn't identify as like a sober person. He just stopped drinking and during COVID and just does not care for it. Like he just like it doesn't make me feel good. I don't like the like it takes me a week to get over a hangover and I don't even like alcohol like that much. So like I
Why
just
doesn't he like drinking poison? That's so weird.
I know, right? But you know, before him I was a very heavy drinker and like it's just like an easy thing, especially being, you know, gay. It's like something that's easy to go out to the gay bars or to happy hours with your girlfriends. And like, it just, you get into this cycle. But being with him, I still drink, but I drink a lot less than I did. And you realize how being in a relationship with someone who doesn't drink or just alcohol isn't fueling your relationship, how many more like honest, grounded conversations you can have, and how much less fighting. There's just less fighting, and there's less, like, I was in a relationship with like a borderline alcoholic, and we just fought all the time because we're just like, alcohol consumed the relationship. It was like we were going out all the time. We were doing things together that involved that all the time. And so,
controlling your highs and lows.
Correct. Like, and so, yeah, you have these super high moments because like the buzz is there and you're like doing a cool thing or you're like having sex or like something. Yeah. And then literally immediately the next day or even later that night, it's like the lowest ever.
Yeah.
And just, it was a big learning moment for me in this relationship. And I encourage her to like recognize the wins of when they weren't drinking together. Cause like, I think there's more wins there than there were when she is, you know, back on the sauce.
That's such a good point. Cause they really were like a united front, even up against the whole house being like, we all hate you guys. Like they were like,
we don't care.
Yeah. We're just so in love. Literally don't care if you guys don't agree with our relationship.
Yeah, I know. It's hard. It has to be hard to see watching the season back for her that her behavior has really, you know, shifted now that alcohol is present.
Can I also just play devil's advocate though for her?
Yeah, totally.
Just to keep the conversation interesting. So like,
totally. I'm not anti her, by the way. I've always loved her. And then the last two seasons, the version of her with Carl has really taken me out with her. I can't do it, but go.
I mean, she's in her Marvel villain era for sure. Like, we're like, you know, in like every Marvel movie, they're like, he got like electrocuted by an eel and now he's Eel Man. Like, we're watching like the moment he gets hit by a bird or something.
Totally.
But the thing about Carl, too, is that Carl to me, like, perfectly fits into like that nice guy thing where he's told all the time that he's a nice guy. He presents as a nice guy. He's agreeable. He has no real like hard like personality traits, identity. Like he seems to really have some identity issues and just nice. And I'm using quote fingers. And it gives me like Jason Hoppy vibes.
I agree. And I think there is some little subtle things that he's done where you see like that little glimmer of like, oh, you have some like vengeful. He is vengeful. Like he has some anger.
He's really like, vengeful.
And I think he can be a petty bitch.
Totally. And I think that he's obsessed with appearances.
Yeah.
And how he looks. And it's like very comfortable and safe for him for Lindsay to always look like the menace. She's always the bad guy.
Yeah.
She's the villain. I'm the one being bullied. I'm the good guy.
Right.
You know, and it's like, I do believe her when she says like, you guys don't like, I see a side of him that you just don't see. And sometimes our fights are a result of that, but you're not going to know that because we're in a house where he's like, acting like Mr. Rogers all the time when we're fighting. Like, I don't believe that he's like that all the time. Like, well, I'm going to leave the room until you're calm and all of that shit. Like, I think that he's like manipulative.
He is, because I think a big issue that they're not totally touching on is that she has a big insecurity about the house and how no one likes her there. Like, she kind of has touched on it and it came to a front when they were in the Ubers being like, I feel like I need to be in the Uber with the girls because if I'm not there, I know they're going to talk about me.
And yeah.
Makes me really upset.
Yeah.
But Carl is like being a little manipulative with her and making it seem like, because he's like dopey and like, no, he's like kind of Tom Schwartzing her.
Yes.
Like, no, babe. No, no. You look great, babe. Don't say anything, babe. Stop, babe. I'm like, okay, well, she has a, you're not, but you're not listening to her and you're not being team her right now. Like, team her, you would stand up to her or be like, go, you know what? You're absolutely right. Go get in that car. I'll stay here. Or like, I can swap with someone or like, what do you need to do to make you feel better? But it does feel like he's not always team her.
No, he's not. I mean, he's like you said earlier, she is also a goddamn menace. You know what I mean? Like
menace.
I don't think that I think the people watching the show, they want there to be like a clear villain and a clear victim.
Right.
And I think that they're just incompatible. Like they are just not meant to be in a relationship.
I know.
And I mean, I'm also like, I'm an Aries. I'm a fiery person. And it really bothers me when a person doesn't know like their interests or their hobbies or who they are, what they like, what they don't like. I just think that that's like a really gross trait in an adult to be like, well, what do you like to do? And they're like, I don't know. I'm like, well, what are you passionate about? And they're like, I haven't figured it out. It's like, well,
right. Wait, is Lindsay an Aries?
I don't know, but she gives Aries energy.
She does. Yeah. I mean, I know I love Aries. My partner Brian is an Aries.
Yeah.
And he's very similar in that way. Wait, I want to look it up. When is Lindsay Hubbard's birthday? Lindsay Hubbard birthday. Oh no, she's I believe this is Leo. Is August 11th Leo, or is that cusp, or is that the beginning of what's after Leo? Virgo? No.
No, I think that's Leo, right?
I think it is Leo.
If she's a Leo, that also makes complete
sense. Well, yes. A lion. And everything's about her.
Yeah, literally.
Well, it's I mean, it's been a great season. Before I let you go, any quick thoughts on West and Jesse Solomon?
Oh, you mean the king and king of the show? Not like I am literally
obsessed with them.
Obsessed. Like they are such good reality stars. I feel like I haven't seen like a Bravo celebrity pandemonium like this for specifically for West in a like a very long time. Like it's been a long time since we've had a beloved pretty like that, you
which
know.
I have to give him a warning. I want him to have a warning. He needs to tread carefully because when you rise high, you fall even further.
Oh,
and
no.
I'm so scared. Please take care of Sierra. Don't screw her over.
You know, and the scary thing is like, he's such like a jokey, sarcastic person. He's mark my words, he's going to say something that pisses everybody off. And then you'll have all these people being like, I never liked him. I knew he was problematic the whole time.
Yes.
Never West fan. It's going to happen.
It's absolutely going to happen.
Inevitable.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love him. He reminds me of like old school, like Real World and The Challenge type of characters. Like, just like hot, but like kind of, but hot and hilarious, like guys that, you know, like, how did you get them to agree to be on a television show? I just...
So unassuming, like he doesn't care about being famous, but also is so good at being magnetic,
mm-hmm.
really, that it's like it just comes to him, and like it's crazy.
He doesn't know Bravo, which I love. He's like he doesn't care about shows. Like he was genuinely like, who the fuck is this Muppet looking Austin character? Like he's like, I don't know who that is. Like, should I know him?
No, he's great. They both are really, I really love Jesse too. They're both just like really, really a breath of fresh air.
Totally agree. I'm loving it. I'm loving the season.
Yeah. Well,
Troy, before I let you go, I want you to tell everyone about the tour. It starts soon. So let everyone know what's happening.
Yeah. So we start May, like the first week of May. We'll be in DC. All of the links are on our Instagram, so if you just go to the Beyond the Blinds Instagram account, and I think the only one that's sold out as of right now is Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
There are tickets left for every other city, but they're like kind of going fast at the moment because the shows are coming up, so go buy them. And yeah, I'm excited. We haven't done a live show in a while, and I'm like really, really excited. I love doing it.
Are you guys going to do a New York date? It wasn't on there initially, so I don't know if the New York date's coming or if you can tease it or no, probably not.
No, we are going to do more New York shows. We did a New York show not that long ago, so we have to like switch it up and go places we haven't been. But for sure, like another New York show is happening.
Yeah, I need to come see a show.
Oh, for
just
sure.
Just for me. I'll just do a show for me. Okay.
It's just you in the room.
Yes. And then also, since you're on CC That Pod, who do you think is going to win Drag Race?
Oh my God. I honestly, my answer changes every day. I don't know. Who do you think is going to win?
So I want Safira to win. She has, she has had this wonderful trajectory on the show. And like, I don't, and this is not a read on her. I don't need to see her do more. Like she's, she has presented an A++ package.
Yeah.
I don't see her going on to All Stars. Like this is the show, but there's a little part of me that could see a Nymphia win because there's just something about her that I could just see in the winner's circle. I don't know what it is, but she's worrying me a little bit. Plain Jane won't win because they need her to come back onto other shows. She can't win.
You just spoke all of my thoughts. I'm not even kidding. Like, I would love, like, Safira feels like the obvious choice. Like, it's like, yeah, like, this show was made for you to win it. This season was made for you to win it. You are so clearly a Drag Race winner. Mm-hmm. Like, you just present as winner. And like you said, she doesn't have anything to improve on. So if she comes, it'll just be the same. Whereas, like, every other queen from the season, I can see a narrative where they come back and they're, like, different than they were the first time, you know, but I think she's gonna win.
I get scared, and I love Nymphia, and honestly I've loved this season. It feels like old Drag Race to me in so many ways because it's a mix of queens that are newer to drag, older to drag, and I love a top three. I think top three, it should have always been top three, and with the top three we have, it feels like old Drag Race where you're like, I don't know. It feels like is Adore Delano gonna beat like Bianca Del Rio? That would be crazy if she did, but is she? It's like fun. It's that fun banter again with the queens. I just like the top three. So I've loved this season.
This is also a complete side note, but can we hang out?
Yes, please.
Hello. Please. Let's go get dinner.
When we press off on the record, I'll give you my number so we can coordinate.
Okay. Okay.
Cool. But Troy, thank you for being here. Say bye to everyone listening. Bye, guys.
Bye.
That's another ep in the books. Make sure to follow me at Tom Hamlet on Instagram. And you can follow Kix.
At Kix Hamlet, that's spelled C-I-X. And make sure to follow the pod on IG at Dumpster Dive Pod. And on TikTok at Two Dumpster Divas.
Rate, review, and subscribe to us and all the pods you love on your favorite app of choice. And we will see y'all soon.
Bye. Bye.